With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us on the line right now, Tom Gipping, Deputy Director of the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Supreme Court Studies and Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Tom, we got a little bit of a hometown girl here who's been nominated for the Supreme Court, went to St. Catherine of Siena, which is about four blocks from where I'm broadcasting right now, then on to Dominican High School and Rhodes College and Notre Dame Law School, as it relates to Amy Coney Barrett, a homegrown girl here, one that we're very proud of. What can we grow to expect from Judge Barrett?
Well, I think it's what's most important to understand about her is not only her resume, kind of the objective legal qualifications, but the heart of what a judge does is interpret and apply the law to decide cases. And it's that interpretation part that's most important. How does a judge approach interpreting or finding out the meaning of our written constitution and written statutes? Judges come in two varieties. One tries to find the meaning that the Constitution already has, and one tries to put the meaning they want into the Constitution. Only one of those is compatible with how our judicial system is designed, and only one of those is compatible with the freedom that we enjoy. Judge Barrett is going to be that kind of judge. She not only understands, but is committed to that traditional approach to interpretation that takes our written constitution seriously and isn't going to put her own agenda or beliefs into it. The nice thing about her is not only that she's practiced that approach on the bench the last 3 years, but the previous 15 when she was at Notre Dame, that's what a lot of her scholarship focused on. So she's really studied it closely and explained thoroughly why it's important and how she understands it. And that's really what we want to know in a Supreme Court nominee.
You know, I read over the weekend some of her publications. As you said, she wrote a lot about stare decisis and due process and statutory stare decisis in the Court of Appeals. Here in Louisiana, we refer to it as jurisprudence constant. But it seems to me that there, even for her, there's friction as to where we have cases, if we're thinking about precedent, where there was this tinge or touch of judicial activism versus the interpretation and being compelled by precedent.
I think that's one of the things that she has studied, because, of course, what's sometimes called originalism, which is simply the approach to interpretation that seeks the original meaning of the law, that's the most important foundational principle. But then there's also past decisions, especially by the Supreme Court, that have interpreted different provisions of the Constitution. And this is what makes some of these cases complicated for judges, especially by the time they reach the Supreme Court. And that is, you know, you have to balance both of those principles. Both of them are very important. And you know, that's the challenge. Now, on the Supreme Court, of course, they can change precedent if they've misinterpreted the Constitution in the past. If the right case comes along, they can maybe correct some of those errors, and they've done so many, many times. But that's what makes those cases, I think, complicated. But people can rest assured that in terms of where her anchor is, where does she start from, it's that when a judge interprets a written constitution, a judge can't pretend like there's unwritten stuff there and just make stuff up as she goes along. She's got to take the Constitution as written for what it is.
I served in law enforcement, Tom, for 40 years, 10 years as an elected sheriff. And so I have a lot of interest in law enforcement cases. So I looked at some of her Fourth Amendment writings as well as qualified immunity. And what I found was a very pragmatic, common sense approach, kind of pointing out the obvious of some of the practices of law enforcement that, quite frankly, she ruled against law enforcement in a number of these cases, and I thought she was spot on for doing it. It didn't make sense what law enforcement did. She pointed out, you know, just this commonsensical approach as to why. And as a law enforcement leader, I would have been supportive of every observation that she made, because I thought she was right.
Well, I think as we go along, and of course the hearing is going to start on October 12. That's only a few weeks away. As people are following this, and as they look at our judiciary generally, not just when a Supreme Court nomination comes up, I think what you're talking about is the right way to look at it, which is not just, you know, do I like the way she ruled? Do I agree, you know, like who won and who lost? Because sometimes the law, when it's applied correctly, means that a side that you might have sympathy for has to lose. It's how the judge applies the law in a fair and impartial way to decide each case. I want to know how Judge Barrett is going to approach all of her cases. I don't just want to know how she's going to rule, let's say, with regard to this issue or that issue. And you'll see both of those approaches. Democrats typically look at just simply issues. They want a certain side to win, and that's all they care about. Conservatives tend to look at it the other way, that they think judges should apply the same principled approach no matter who wins and who loses. It's a very different way of looking at judges' jobs, with a lot of different consequences, and we really ought to care about which kind of justice gets appointed to the Supreme Court.
I'm always kind of mystified by those that believe, whether you're liberal or conservative, that once you go to the bench, you're going to completely embrace the farthest reaches of that label. And what I think history has shown us is that it's anything but that, correct?
I think you're right, and that's why those labels, which are essentially like political or ideological labels, are sometimes misleading when we apply them to the courts. Many times she was a law professor who took positions when she, you know, wrote articles. Other judges who get appointed might have been lawyers who advocated in court. You know, people like Amy Barrett know the difference between being a law professor in a courtroom and being a judge behind the bench. They're not necessarily going to approach those issues the same way, because the job is very different. And that, again, that's what we want to know. That's what we want to know when she's going to be on the Supreme Court. How does she understand her job? And I think she gets it right. She was questioned about that extensively in 2017 when she was appointed to the appeals court. And as we've said, she's written about it extensively. We really do know what she understands. In fact, when President Trump made the announcement on Saturday, if you were watching, you remember she said, because she was a law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia, she said, "Justice Scalia's judicial philosophy is my judicial philosophy." And Scalia stood for, more than any other justice, that traditional way of respecting what the Constitution says and what the Constitution means. That's how our judiciary was designed. She's going to be the same kind of justice that he was, and I think that's what's going to make her a great addition to the Supreme Court.
Tom, if you could briefly, for the listening audience, I don't think they quite understand sometimes, and this is where it's important, this distinction you just made, where the text of the law and may be at odds with what the intent of Congress actually was, as to the case that appears before them and which one should get the benefit of the doubt.
Well, think of it this way. The Constitution is a rule book. It's the people's set of rules for government. And the Supreme Court said over 200 years ago, the reason that we have a written constitution, and ours was the first written one in history, the reason we have a written rule book is so that the rules will not be mistaken or forgotten. That's the whole idea about a written constitution. And that's why when judges interpret and apply that written constitution, they're supposed to take it for what it is. Each case that comes along requires them to do that, and that's their obligation, and it makes a great deal of difference. I mean, the abortion issue is a typical one that a lot of people come up with. The Constitution says nothing about abortion. The Supreme Court put that into the Constitution. They claimed they were interpreting it, but they were really amending it. They were really adding abortion to the Constitution. Now, whether you support or oppose abortion rights, it ought to make a big difference whether the Supreme Court's just making it up or whether you and your elected representatives decide that that's what we want our Constitution to say. And that's really what the debate is. Who gets to say what the supreme law of the land is all about? And really, it belongs to you and me. It doesn't belong to judges. It belongs to you and me and the people that we elect, you know, to make our laws for us. Judges are supposed to take it for what it is. They're not supposed to turn it into something else. And that's really what the conflict over all judicial appointments is about.
We're talking to Tom Gippin, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Tom, would I be incorrect in the following statement? The folks that from, you know, the Scalia walk of life, so to speak, or the Scalia train of thought, actually, it compels the legislative body to actually pay close attention or closer attention to the work that they're doing.
Yes, and that's an important point. If I'm the Supreme Court and you're Congress, and you're tempted to write laws, and believe me, I worked in the United States Senate Judiciary Committee for 15 years. I saw making the sausage up front, you know, up front and close. You're tempted to make laws that aren't really written well, that are kind of vague, that don't really take clear positions because you've had to make all these political compromises. But the Supreme Court tells you, look, we're not going to do the rest of your job for you. We're not going to fill in the blanks and make sense out of stuff that doesn't make sense. That's your job. We're not going to do it for you. Well, of course that's going to put pressure on Congress to say whether we want to or not, that's our job. And we have to do it better. It's only when judges say, oh, don't worry about it, just pass the baton to me, we'll take care of making sense out of the nonsense that you've enacted, and then you can continue going on doing what you want to do. And the problem is no one knows who's responsible for what then, right? I mean, we elect our representatives. We elect Congress. We want to hold them accountable. But if they're telling us, oh, no, it was the Supreme Court that got it wrong, it's their fault, then the people of the United States don't know what to do. So we need judges who know what their job is. We also need judges who tell Congress, you got to do yours. And that makes our system work better. That helps us hold people accountable. And that keeps our freedom safe.
Would you have the same feeling that I do, is that actually has greatly minimized this notion of compromise, and maybe that's why it is so impaired today, that we just really talking past one another? Because we know that, you know, historically over the last two decades, we've had this court that, you know, kind of takes the sausage and puts everything in its appropriate order in order to pass constitutional muster.
I do think it contributes to it. I saw a few big examples of where Congress should have written the law in a more concrete and specific way, but then when it went into the courts and the Supreme Court got a hold of it, then it was turned into something else. And then Congress said, oh, we didn't mean that. You know, we've got to go back and do it over and all this. I saw that a bunch of times. And it does contribute to it. And I think what you're talking about is we have a system of government that has several different parts to it, And all of those parts have to work the way they're designed. The judiciary, the legislative branch, the executive branch, they all have to work the way they're designed. And if they do, well, then government stays limited. It does what it's supposed to do. The people are in charge of most of the public policy decisions and the way we want our country to be run, and our elections actually mean something. That's the way, that's the genius of what America's founders gave us, and a Supreme Court nomination is a good opportunity to remind ourselves of what that design is and the role that the judiciary plays and make sure that we're appointing judges that are consistent with that.
I was kind of moved over the weekend by both Democrats and Republicans, many of whom that obviously have come in contact with Judge Barrett, and have said she's the brightest of the bright, and you know she is ready for this position.
One of the great things that that I've seen in connection with her 2017 appointment, you know, she clerked for Justice Scalia on the Supreme Court in 1998-99. Every single clerk that she worked with during that year, including Justice Ginsburg's clerks, signed a letter just praising her and strongly supporting her appointment to be a judge. They talked about the kind of work she does. They talked about the kind of person she is. And these are clerks that cover the political and ideological spectrum. They agreed on one thing, that Amy Barrett will make a great judge. And you see this over and over, not only in professors across the country in different law schools from coast to coast, the faculty at Notre Dame that she worked with, everyone who has come in contact with her and her work says the same thing. And I think we can trust that. You know, I'd rather rely on the opinion of someone who actually knows her and has worked with her than someone who hasn't. And that picture is very consistent. I don't think President Trump could have made a better choice.
And it's good to hear that, because those are the folks that aren't they in the trenches fighting out the ideological battles as it relates to these issues that come before the court?
They are. And you know, when a Supreme Court a vacancy comes up, and we don't really know, it doesn't happen very often, and we don't know when it will. Some voices always come out of the woodwork to say, you know, to give their opinion and make you believe that they know what they're talking about. It's the people who work with someone and who know someone day to day outside of the spotlight, outside of the big, you know, media attention events like this. That's the real test, you know. Is that consistent with what we see? And with her, it absolutely is. You can object to the way that she approaches interpreting the Constitution. That means you object to the way the founders of our country said that it ought to be done. You're free to do that. But I think we ought to have an honest debate about that, not debate about, you know, sneaky little fake stories about, you know, little innuendos from the shadows about, you know, something she said 20 years ago. Let's talk about what a justice is supposed to do, how she would approach it, and whether that's what the country needs.
Absolutely. Tom Gipping, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We truly appreciate not only your time, but your insight. Love the conversation. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
All righty. That's Tom Gipping, Deputy Director of the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies and Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. We will be right back on the other side of the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.